Oh, as we prepare our hearts to be in worship this morning, why don't we kind of just breathe out anything that we might be carrying with us, any kind of stress or a thought that keeps us from really focusing on what God has to say through us today. So let's shake that off. Let me start with just an opening prayer. And then we'll go into joys and concerns and continue through our worship. So let's pray. God of abundant love, we come to you this day during a season of great growth, and we see the fields growing, and we know that there is a harvest. All around us are signs of growth in our earth, in our families, in our nation, in our world. Lord, we gather this morning seeking your healing love and your abounding mercy. So, Lord, we would ask that you would open our hearts this morning to receive all that you offer, that we may become fruitful workers for you in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we come together here, I see that I am missing something here. Sorry about this, Michelle. Somehow I'm missing my pastoral prayer, but that's okay. If you're in one of our churches or whether you're home alone, we love to spend some time just sharing, coming before God and sharing our joys and our concerns, those things that are heavy on our hearts, where we just need each other's support, each other's help. Also, we like to lift our joys, those places where we've experienced God working in our lives or in somebody else's lives, where we've seen somebody celebrate good news or healing or answered prayers. And we like to celebrate them as well and give God the glory for those. So if you've taken your time and shared those, I'll lead us in a short prayer. Loving and gracious God, we are beyond blessed to gather each and every day, each and every opportunity we can, to come before you and bring joys and concerns. Oh, we know that there are so many in need right now, Lord. Need of your healing touch, of your grace, your mercy. Those who are locked in different phases of life, whether they be struggling or facing some health challenges. Lord, we lift each and every one of those people before you this morning. Touch them with your healing hand. Put somebody in their place, Lord, that makes a difference in their life, a positive difference, where they can see you working, where they know that you're not a distant God, but you're a God right here, right now, with each one of us, walking with us, even in our struggles. And Lord, we also give you praise for those who are experiencing great joys, for births, for answered prayers and healing, for job promotions, for new families, for just the joy of being able to take another breath and share another day with loved ones and with you, Lord. So we lift them to you as well. Lord, we wouldn't be growing in our faith if we weren't able to come to you in confession as well. And Lord, we know there are times when we just... Oh, you ask us to sow seeds, and we miss those opportunities. And so today we come seeking your forgiveness, as we do so often. We just miss the boat sometimes, Lord. So we would ask that you call us to be fishers of men, to get on that boat, to work with you and work for you as we bring people into this relationship with you so they can feel your grace and your peace. And Lord, we realize we fall short, but we are grateful for the forgiveness we get, for the empowerment we get through the Holy Spirit, for the changed lives as we confess our sins, as we turn away from our sins, as we allow you to grow us and change us each and every day. Lord, we pray all of these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So today we're going to read from Matthew, from the Gospel of Matthew. This is Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. And here's what it says. It says, later that same day, Jesus left the house and he sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such one as this. He said, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and birds came and they ate them. Others fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon withered under that hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Others fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out all the tender plants. Still other seeds, the other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, several years ago, working on what actually came to fruition about a month ago, I was working on my ordination studies, working through my seminary work, and I took a class called Theological Heritage 2. And it was one of those courses that kind of surprised me. The focus was on how the church became what it is today. And in just a few weeks, we traced the history of Christianity from the turn of the first century, around the year 100, all the way to the Council of Nicaea, which happened in the year 325. Now, one of the sections that stayed with me as we spent this time in this class was our study on what they called the monastic movement. The monastics were a deeply devoted group of followers of Christ who their goal was to distance themselves from the temptations of society, so they could learn to love the same way that God loves us. This monastic movement eventually gave rise to what we know as the monks, or maybe even the nuns, the men and women who embraced this seclusion and this solitude, not because they didn't like people, but because they wanted to see others more clearly, right through the lens or through the eyes of God. That information led me to a story about some monks, and I want to share it with you this morning. Here's what this story said. It said, so, in a monastery that trained young Christian brothers for various callings within a church, one brother lived in constant fear of being called upon to preach a sermon in the chapel. I can understand that fear. His apprehension grew with each passing day until finally he got up the nerve to talk to the chief priest with a proposal that he had in mind. He said, sir, I'm willing to do any menial job that you want to give me, anything. I'd be thrilled to go out into the fields and to plow the soil. I'd be thrilled to fertilize and water all these plants that we planted by hand, just to make sure that they grow, that to intensify their growth. You just say the word, and I'll get down on my hands and knees, and I'll scrub the floors of the monastery. I'll even clean the toilets, sir. I'd be honored to polish the candlesticks, paint the window frames, or cut wood for the fire. I'm ready and willing to do anything you might ask of me. My only request, sir, is that you do not ask me to preach a sermon in the chapel. Well, once the words finally came out of his mouth, he felt this sense of relief come over him. He actually felt pretty good about their conversation. He let out a big breath, and the tension just left his shoulders. And the chief priest looked at this young monk. He nodded his head and he says, tomorrow you are to lead the chapel service and you're going to preach the sermon. The next day came after a really long night. nervous and awkward. The brother stood at the pulpit and he looked out into the waiting eyes of all those people who were his peers. Not quite sure what to say, he kind of licked his lips, he swallowed hard, and he simply asked, "Brothers, do you know what I'm going to say?" They all shook their heads no. He continued, he says, "Neither do I. Let's stand for the benediction. Peace be with you." Now, he didn't say anything. And this upset the chief priest. After the service, the chief priest chased down this young monk and he says, "Here's the deal. I'm going to give you a second chance. Tomorrow you're going to lead this chapel service again. And this time," he says, "I want you to give a message." So the next day, the young brother took his place at the pulpit again. He began his message the exact same way. He says, "Brothers, do you know what I'm going to say?" This time they all nodded their head, "Yes." He said, "Since you already know what I'm going to say, there's no point in me saying it. Let's stand for the benediction. Peace be with you." Wow. Now the chief priest, there was smoke coming out of his ears. He was absolutely livid with this young man. Once again, he summoned this young brother. He says, "This time, I'm tired of your tricks. You've got one more chance, one more to redeem yourself. Tomorrow, you will preach a sermon. If you fail to do so, I'll put you in solitary confinement on bread and water." The next morning came, and the scene was the same. The nervous monk began, just like the two previous days. He says, "Brothers, do you know what I'm going to say?" And this time some nodded their head yes, some shook their head no. Then he said, "Let those who know tell those who don't. Let's stand for the benediction. Peace be with you." Now, that's kind of a long story. And maybe I should just end right there. Say, "Peace be with you." And then again, maybe not. You see, this story about a young monk is a parable. It's a story with a point to make. This monk story might be one that Jesus might have used, because Jesus told stories with a purpose. He understood that people come from all kinds of diverse backgrounds, different education levels. So by using parables, Jesus made sure that everyone could comprehend a simple story that taught a really important lesson. So instead of preaching at his audience, he'd often catch their attention with an entertaining story that would leave the listener thinking deeper about his or her own life. In our passage this morning from Matthew, Jesus told the parable of the sower, and he told it from a boat just off the edge of the shoreline. A huge crowd gathered around on the beach to listen to him, much like we're here today. I think this parable and the one I started with kind of share the same moral. No matter what, we will always be given the opportunity to keep swinging. We keep getting the opportunity to do over and over and over again. And the story of the monk, he was called to keep preaching, even if he didn't have the best outcome. In Jesus' parable, the sower was called to keep sowing, even if some of the seed never produced any fruit at all. Think of it this way. If the sower had not gone out to sow seeds, there'd be no story at all. No lesson to be learned. If the sower had not gone out into the field in the first place, had not reached into his bag of seed and kept swinging his arms with hands full of potential, if he had instead just stayed home and left his seeds in the grain bin, none of this would have happened. And no one would understand the message of faith without failure. You see, the sower went out to sow. He took action. He took the seeds in a sack and he shook them things all over, not worrying at all where they landed. You see, that's the first step. He didn't worry about where the seeds fell. Some he knew would get eaten by the birds. He knew some would start out really good, but would just as quickly wither and die away. He also knew that some, they wouldn't be able to thrive. He knew that they would start to grow and then the weeds, they just choke them out. But here's the thing, the important thing to the sower was this, that if he faithfully kept swinging that seed, swinging his arm, throwing that seed out, he knew that the return on investment would outweigh the loss. I have to believe that even in the places where the seed died, or was eaten, or withered and dried up, in some way, that loss would have fertilized the soil, that weak soil. It would have made for a better harvest. And I know for a fact that we have a few farmers or gardeners here today. We all know that if we don't plant, we don't grow. If we don't grow, we don't eat. That is the same idea that this parable is sharing. If the good news of Jesus Christ is kept stored up in the church building, it's just like seeds that stay in the sower's bag. What do you do with seeds in a bag? About all that's good for is grinding it into the wheat and making bread. And once the seed is gone, it won't take long, and you're going to be pretty hungry. We must keep swinging that seed and allowing it to fall where it may. And then we have to trust God to bless the work that we've done. The Gospel of John reminds us that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Friends, we're called to keep swinging. You know, Babe Ruth played professional baseball from 1914 to 1935. In those 21 years, he stood at the plate 8,399 times. He remains the number 3 home run hitter, at least that's in 2020 when I got this stat. He remained the number 3 home run hitter, 714 home runs in his 21-year career. But we all know that you'll never hit a home run if you don't swing the bat. Babe Ruth kept swinging, and not every swing that he took was a home run. Sometimes it was a swing and a miss. Babe Ruth also struck out 1,330 times in his career. The good news is he kept on swinging. He kept swinging. The founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, went through a time where he questioned his effectiveness as a preacher. I want to share this article that I read about our founder as I close our time together today. It says this, that John Wesley recently returned from a disastrous mission to the province of Georgia in the United States. He was suffering a crisis of faith. Wesley had gone to Georgia hoping to take the word of God to the Native Americans. That's the Indians, as we called them. Instead, John Wesley actually called them the heathens. But his goal was to take the gospel to them. The article goes on and says, instead of backing out of an engagement to Sophia, after backing out of an engagement to Sophia Hopke, he skipped out of the country just ahead of a second attempt to hold him for breach of promise. To say that Wesley's faith was at a low ebb is putting it mildly. As far as he was concerned, he didn't possess the requisite of faith for salvation. He was even considering John Wesley, the founder of our faith, of our denomination, he was considering giving up preaching altogether. He wrote in his journal, he says, "Leave of preaching. How can you preach to others who have not faith yourself?" He was questioning his own faith. He says, I asked Bowler, a friend of his, whether he thought I should leave it or not. And he answered, by no means. I asked, but what can I preach? Bowler said, preach faith till you have it. And then because you have it, you will preach faith. Bowler told him, keep on swinging, John. Keep swinging. That was the advice that John Wesley, founder, got from his friend Bowler. The sower went out to sow. Not every seed grew into a plant. Not every plant survived. But he planted seeds so abundantly that he ended up with a plentiful crop. The young monk in our parable that I began with had no idea what to say. But he kept swinging. We don't know if he ever had a harvest. Babe Ruth kept swinging his bat. Even when the stats said he had a better chance of striking out than hitting a home run. Friends, we are called to love our neighbors without any assurance that we're going to be loved back by them. It doesn't matter. Our call, our objective, our mission is to just keep swinging. So friends, go. Go and sow the seeds of the kingdom of God. That's our mission. The outcome is completely in God's hands. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being part of your harvest field. Long before we ever knew you, someone planted seeds of faith in our lives. Someone prayed for us. Someone taught us. Someone encouraged us and pointed us towards Jesus. Today we give thanks for the faithful sowers who kept swinging even when they couldn't see the results. Lord, we keep swinging. We keep bringing you ourselves, our beings. We also bring you our gifts. So Lord, receive these gifts that have been offered today. Bless them and multiply them for your purpose. Use them to proclaim the gospel. Strengthen your church. Care for those in need and make disciples of Jesus Christ throughout our communities and around this world. And Father, we offer more than our finances. We truly do offer ourselves. Scatter us like the seeds in the places where you've planted us. Give us courage to keep loving, to keep serving, keep inviting, keep sharing, keep trusting. And even when we don't immediately see the harvest, keep us throwing, keep us scattering. Let us keep swinging. Lord, as we leave this place, remind us that success isn't measured by what we can count. It's really measured by our faithfulness to your call. Lord, help us to keep swinging, to keep sowing, to keep trusting you, or keep trusting that you will bring forth a harvest in your perfect time. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.